This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Today, Michael, we're going on a journey. We got a lot to talk about in a very, very short time to do it. It's only a 3-hour show, Michael. Normally, we blow the clock up. We run out of time. The hooligans get us off on a tangent. Michael's talking about Star Wars and where it's hard for us to keep our focus, but we're going to do our best to keep our focus today.
On this journey, are we going to throw the ring in the fires of Mount Doom?
Stop it right now. John Weber, athletic director for Colorado State, is going to join us on the show today. Wow. Susan, Cheryl, delayed applause, but they're very excited about it. John, stay away from them. Good thing it's on phone. Very excited to talk to John. Take us through that process of getting Jim Mora to Colorado State. I've always been a fan of John's, and now more so than ever, because now it's go time, right? You know, he hired a basketball coach not too long ago, an Ali Farokh-Manesh, somewhat of an easy choice. And now he hired Jim Mora, and somewhat of an easy choice, I suppose. Now, if those two coaches work out, John Weber, man. John freaking Weber. Pretty good. Pretty good. All right, NCAA. Mike, you'll love this because you are a football elitist.
I'm a football realist.
You squeaked a little there. You weren't as confident in what you were saying. That means you're a football elitist.
I'm doing two things at once. Sorry. I'm doing two things at once.
You're going to be able to buy cigarettes soon, buddy. You're going through it, man. That's a weird
time.
You
have to be 21 now.
We'll talk about the birds and the bees with you at some point, my friend. There is a possibility, albeit small, that two G5 schools get in to the college football playoffs, Michael.
If they're ranked high enough, I'm for it.
There won't be, but maybe. That would be. The rule is, and people lose sight of this. You got to remember, this is the rule. There's nowhere in the rule book for college football playoffs that it must be four Power Four champs and then a G5. The rule clearly states 12-team single elimination tournament that includes the 5 highest-ranked conference champions. That is something that you need to remember for now. They're probably going to change that soon, but you need to burn it into your brain because the debate is, oh, I thought it was just 4, and then the G5 gets in. I was cool with just one seat at the table. There is potential. We just didn't think that it would come to this. Now, here's the problem right now, guys. Miami is the highest ranked ACC team at 12. You would think, well, then it should be Miami, you know, win or lose. If they're not in the ACC championship game, Michael, because there was a 5-way tie, 5-team tie at the top. And neither one of those teams played each other. So there wasn't an easy way to solve that riddle. So then they went to opponent strength of schedule. I'm not going to bore you with the opponent strength of schedule because we really don't give up about the ACC. Bottom line is, Miami's the highest ranked ACC team, but because of the computer database that says the opponent schedule for Duke was harder than Miami's, we will have Duke playing Virginia for the ACC championship. Michael, Virginia is ranked 17th. If they lose to Duke, who is not ranked, could that potentially drop them so far back that Tulane at 20 and now James Madison at 20, assuming they win, they move in. They could move over the top of Virginia. I don't imagine Virginia's really going to drop 8 spots, though. If they lose to a non-ranked team, I think it's going to be a long shot for James Madison to get in, but that will be fascinating to see if Virginia by chance is destroyed by Duke. That could change things too. Bottom line, if Virginia wins, then you're just going to get one G5 champ in. But make no mistake about it, you will. And it's probably going to be Tulane, assuming they win, or North Texas. So that's fascinating. Will BYU drop out of the race? They're sitting at 11. Notre Dame moved down one. And they're sitting at 10th right now. This is just fascinating. So what will ultimately happen here as we get down to it? That's the fascinating thing. Notre Dame drops down one. They stay at 10. Alabama moved up one. They're at 9. BYU is at 11. But remember, it's not 1 through 12. The five highest ranked conference champs will get in over anybody, depending on where they are. Now, you don't have to worry about that with Ohio State. You don't have to worry about that with Georgia. You don't have to worry about that with Texas Tech. But you do start worrying about that when you look at the ACC and when you look at the G5 conferences. So the storylines here, could two G5s get in? Will Virginia lose to Duke and potentially miss out? And we won't have an ACC team in, even though Miami is sitting at number 12. Will BYU fall out of this? There is real potential that they will. Because again, 1 through 10, okay, you got to make two more spots available because the next two highest ranked conference champs would get in over those final two spots, Michael. So there is a chance that Virginia takes 11 and Tulane takes 12. What would that mean? BYU out, Miami out. Now, if BYU wins, they got to play Texas Tech. If BYU wins, you got to imagine that would do enough to move them a couple of spots. Texas Tech is fourth right now. So if BYU beats Texas Tech, they would climb up. I would imagine they'd be safe. They'd climb up at least three spots. Miami can do nothing. All they can do is sit back and wait and hope for chaos. Ole Miss did not move. Lane Kiffin is out of the goodness of his heart. He sent back his offensive coordinator, Charlie Weiss Jr., to go be the coach for Ole Miss, or to lead the way for Ole Miss in their playoff quest. And I'm going to get into that, too, because it's really interesting. I mean, it just, and Mike. The players for Ole Miss are coming out calling Lane Kiffin a liar. Lane Kiffin said, the team asked me to coach in the playoffs, but I understand the athletic director's position, so whatever. But the team, even though they asked me, players are now retweeting that comment and saying, no, that's not how it went. You might want to check your facts on that. It is wild. Bryce Sanders is an offensive lineman for Ole Miss, quoted Lane Kiffin's release about, I was hoping to compete with Ole Miss, but they're not going to have me in the playoffs. He quotes him, despite the team asking me to keep coaching, end quote, he writes, I think everyone that was in that room would disagree. More players are coming out saying it too. But yes, Lane Kiffin is going to send Charlie Weiss Jr. back to Ole Miss. I have so many questions. This is the statement from Lane Kiffin. With the playoff committee recently released, this was last night, releasing updated rankings tonight, I wanted it to be known that after conversations with LSU, we are allowing Charlie to return to Ole Miss to coach the team during the playoffs. I've already made the committee aware of this, and I'm hopeful this decision will allow Ole Miss to receive the highest ranking possible because these great players are very deserving of that. I'm excited that Charlie will be back to help coach the greatest team in the history of Ole Miss. Well, okay, so Ole Miss is fine with Charlie Weiss Jr. coming back, but not Lane Kiffin. LSU's fine with Charlie Weiss Jr. going back to Ole Miss, but not Lane Kiffin. I don't know, Mike. If you're Ole Miss, is this a good thing? Or are you saying, no, you're all cheating on me. Get the hell out of here, man.
That That's kind of what it feels like. Kind of feels, I don't know. I agree with the players on this. If the coach just skedaddles like right before, I'm going to be like, what the hell? You know what I think? I think if Ole Miss goes and plays well in the playoffs, like they probably will get blown out. They will probably get blown out. But if they play well in the playoffs, if they win a game, that puts into question Lane Kiffin.
Yeah, one game doesn't necessarily.
Mean it, but like. I've always had issues with Lane Kiffin.
This is going to be a team that is extremely motivated. Extremely motivated. So let that be a factor for Ole Miss. What if Charlie Weiss takes them all the way to the championship and they win? Does Ole Miss say, why don't you stay here, buddy? I don't know. Faith texting in. There's a lot of sports news angst in the news today. Lots to discuss. Well, it's signing day, too. So that's kind of fun. And I'm not going to pretend to know any of the names that are on this list. There's a couple on my radar, but I'm not going to pretend. I promise you. Faith says, are we really surprised, though, about any controversial anything regarding Kiffin? He's a walking red flag. Great coach, but red flag. Well, and it kind of just, it comes off as like, Lane Kiffin allowed it to be so. I called the committee. Hello, committee. I am sending one of my lackeys. I hate, with all due respect, Charlie Weiss Jr. I'm sending one of my lackeys back to Ole Miss to grace you with some of my presence. Not all the way, because I can't be bothered to be there, even though I wanted to be and the team wanted me to be there, but they didn't really. It just kind of looks like, oh, poor buddies, here you go. Have Charlie come back to you so you can, doggone it, you get your rankings and you'll be in the playoffs, but I'm going to go back to my bathtub full of money. That's what I'm going to do. My golden bathtub that I have, although it's not that much money before, but my golden bathtub full of NIL money.
Yeah, now you know why USC like fired him on the tarmac instead of, you know, waiting for him to get back to his office.
Well, and he told everybody to get on the damn plane. If you're not on the plane when I go on the plane, you're not going to get a job. And then with Charlie Weiss, he's like, wait a second. If they win a playoff game, I get an extra $1 million. It's true. He gets more money for every, if they go to the playoffs, if they win playoff games, he gets more money. So
this is another reason to root against LSU. This is another reason to hate the SEC.
This is wild, Michael. Is BYU going to make it?
I don't
doubt it,
know.
Right?
Texas Tech is very good.
Okay, let me ask you this. Will BYU beat Texas Tech?
I'm
yes
going to
no?
say Texas Tech.
Then BYU.
I'm going with Texas Tech on that one.
Then I got to imagine BYU is out. Because you still have to make room for an ACC team. And you have to make room for a G5 team. So that would mean BYU and Miami are out. If I'm doing my math correctly, there are 12 teams in. It's not 1 through 12. It's the five highest ranked conference champions. And there are only the Big 10, the SEC, and the Big 12 in right now. We still need an ACC champ. And then you would still be waiting on whatever it is, the American or the Sun Belt champ. So that, to my calculations, Michael, that's two more teams. And that ACC team is not Miami. I mean, Miami could leapfrog BYU, I guess, but Miami doesn't play. If BYU loses badly, does Miami move up to 11? That still doesn't put the crackers on my stomach, does it, Carl? 18 minutes after the hour. Michael, quickly, I want to get to this. The good, the bad, and the ugly, presented by FMS Bank. Banking made simple. For more, go to fmsbank.com/KFKA. The good for me, got to make this brief, but the Avs do it again. It's amazing to me, and they were dealing with Scott Wedgwood leaving the game with back tightness. I don't know how serious that is, but Mackenzie Blackwood came in and made 11 saves. Nathan MacKinnon is just ridiculous. Two goals for him. He's had 8 goals and 5 assists in his last 7 games. He leads the NHL with 22 goals on the season. He is incredible. The bad for me is Lane Kiffin. I don't blame him, but I blame him. Does that make sense? The ugly, the CU Buffs. Wow. CU projects, according to USA Today, CU projects record deficit driven by player costs and Sanders' salary. They are projecting that it will run a $27 million deficit during the current fiscal year ending in 2026. In addition to needing $11.9 in institutional support from the university and $2.2 million from student fees, Mind blown. We'll get into it.
Guys, this is why college is so expensive.
20 minutes after the hour. Short break coming up. It's the whole show powered by Chevron. John Weber, CSU Athletic Director, joining me after the bottom of the hour. We'll be right back.
Stocking stuffer.
Merry Christmas, you filthy animal.
Download your favorite KFKA podcast today.
This is Kaz, voice of the Denver Nuggets. Good to be back on KFKA, baby.
24 minutes after the hour, I want to thank Diamond Valley Collectibles, sports memorabilia, sports cards, Legos, Funko Pops. That is your collector's outlet for Christmas shopping. It's the third day of December. Get out. It's snowing outside, or it did snow outside. That was a lot of fun. I moved into a larger property, so there's a hell of a lot more to shovel. Michael, I'm tired. My back hurts. Shoveled a lot more than I'm used to. I need to figure something out. Has anybody got a plow or a tractor that they would be willing to drive to my house every snow day right around 6 o'clock in the morning? But be quiet about it.
Call Mr. Plow. That's the name. That's the name again is Mr. Plow.
25 minutes after the hour. After that, I'm going to go wash my ears out, and we'll catch up with Colorado State Rams Athletic Director John Weber joining the show coming up in just a moment. But first, let's take a quick break. It's the whole show powered by Chevron. We'll be right back.
There's only one feeling like knowing your banker personally, like growing up with a bank you can count on. Like being sure what you've earned is safe, secure, and local. There's only one feeling, like knowing you're supporting your community. You deserve more from a bank. You deserve an institution that stood strong for generations. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
This is Chris Abshire, Fort Collins, Colorado, and you are listening to the whole show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Minutes after the 11 o'clock hour. That's a fitting song right there. Is that a little Foo Fighters, There Goes My Hero? I would imagine a lot of Rams fans are looking at John Weber, Colorado State Athletic Director, and with that song in their mind, because a big, big day on Monday. Big hire, of course, bringing Jim Mora into the fold at Colorado State. Joining me now on our First Advantage Hotline, the John Weber, Colorado State Athletic Director. My friend, thank you so much for giving us some time. I know it's a whirlwind for you, so we just appreciate the time you can give us.
Absolutely. Really appreciate you having me on today.
John, I gotta ask this. Nobody outside of, you know, your brain trust knew this was going to happen. You guys kept this buttoned up. How in the hell did you do that? Nobody knew anything, John.
We did run a really, really good search and a tight search there. It was a good group of folks that we worked with, and couldn't be more pleased with the result of it.
I mean, you had to be seeing all these rumors and, oh, I've got intel that I think this guy's going to be the coach. And it's like, no, nobody said Jim Mora. You had to smirk a little bit at some of that stuff.
I'm not going to lie. I did get a good giggle every now and then when I saw some of it.
Gotta love it, man. But John, can you take us through this process? Obviously, this was kind of an extended search. So you guys put in the time. I can't imagine what all went into that. But this search began in October. Can you just kind of give us a little bit of the rundown of kind of how that search began, you know, when Jim Mora started becoming more of a possibility for Colorado State?
Yeah, so we made the leadership change, obviously at a midpoint in the season, and wanted to make sure that we gave ourselves enough time to, to do an exhaustive search. And someone described it as exhausting also. But it was an exhaustive search. We had an opportunity to talk to a lot of different people. But, Coach Mora was on our list from day one. He was one of the first folks that we talked with and kept coming back with him and had great conversations. And, things broke in our way and his way. And I think we're both better for it. We're in a great place with him.
What was it about your initial conversation with him that kind of led you to think, yeah, this is going to be our guy? Without, you know, of course, you're not going to give us all the details, but was there a moment where you're like, yeah, I mean, records, that's great, but there's just something else here with this guy?
Well, you know, all of the conversations with him were fantastic. There was a moment that actually when we went to see him back in Connecticut, where we're sitting at a table and he started talking about the word "we," and he started using it over and over and over again in his conversation. And I actually stopped him and I said, "What, you know, tell me what we means." And his definition of the community, of the campus, of our players, our former players. Everyone involved with the CSU football program really defines "we" for him. And, you know, at a time that we need to build a program, with someone that's, got a lot of experience doing that. It was a great connection to make. And that was a poignant moment, I think, for both of us.
We're talking to Colorado State Athletic Director John Weber. Jim Mora was announced as the next head coach for the Rams football team on Monday. And that was a packed house, John. And there were also a lot of former players. I recognized a lot of guys there. And that just right off the bat, that seems like something you talk about. That seems like something that's very important to Jim, to be able to have those former players be a major part going forward for the Rams.
Yeah, there's no doubt. And they did show up in force, and I'm appreciative of that. And it sets the right tone for Coach Moore's tenure here, and, you know, really got it off to the right foot. And I've got to hand it to Coach Novell too. You know, he did a really nice job of fixing that relationship with our players and built on that. And Coach Moore is going to take that torch and continue to run with it. So proud of the work that's been done and excited for the work that will continue to be done there.
John, it's such a unique business. Like you just said, you know, shouting out to Coach Jay Norvell and everything that he did. Obviously not a tough decision. So much goes into that, and he did a lot of good things for the Rams, but this business is fascinating. It's unlike any other. You have to make a really tough decision that I'm sure everybody was broken up about, and then you got to quickly move forward and start preparing for the future. It's a very unique job, John. It's fascinating to just kind of see how you've even evolved with this job the last few years.
Yeah, and part of my job is to make sure that I'm surrounded by great people. You know, so folks like Scott Sidwell being involved in this process. You know, when I set out to find a deputy for CSU, you know, found one that had been working in the football program at the absolute highest levels, and he's made a big impact on our program as well. So. Like I said, my job is to be a team builder and give them what they need and then get out of the way and let them do their job. And that's, I'm excited to be able to serve CSU that way.
John, it was, and I just have to go here, in the press conference Monday, you know, Jim did mention that he was interested in the job back in 2019. I'm guessing, you know, you guys obviously discussed that at great length too. I think that also shocked a lot of people, not just fans, but the reporters that were there also.
Yeah, you know, he's been a fan of the West Coast for a long time, and you know, this was an opportunity for him to have a homecoming of sorts, and I'm glad that we were able to make it work on both sides this time.
And it's another part of this that's so intriguing to me too. I mean, these guys have to quickly get after it. I know he showed up Sunday night and it's cold, all that stuff, and then getting ready for the press conference, then goes back to talk to his old team to make that right. I really admired that he went back, because it was strange timing with Thanksgiving. But you got to jump right in, because signing day today, going through that with the recruiting process and the transfer portal, I mean, there's really no time for him to even think about anything else. It's crazy.
No, there's zero time. And, that's a little bit crazy of how college football works in terms of where some of those dates land, especially with the signing day here. And given everything that's happened within our program, you know, I got to say that I'm really proud of all our coaches and our personnel department here and Coach Moore as well for, you know, getting some folks into the signing class. You know, last count, I think we're sitting around 24, 25 commits. And we put together a phenomenal class, you know, in the face of adversity. I couldn't be more proud of that group of people.
Yeah, I'm curious to kind of dig in on that later in the program today, just some of those names on that list. One of the things you and Jim talked about in the press conference Monday was the path to the college football playoffs. You guys are not being shy about that, talking about your goals. And Jim saying, you know, I view this opportunity going back into the Pac-12 as that chance. Boy, I'm looking at the standings, too. We talked about this earlier with the rankings. I mean, there is a weird way that two G5 programs actually get in, too. So it's fascinating just to see that all unfold. But I loved hearing that kind of mindset from you and Jim talking about that path to the playoffs, how it just looks more realistic through the Pac-12, that journey and that road to the CFP.
No, that it's very real, and that's something that that Coach Moore and I talked about quite a bit, in terms of, you know, if the goal is to go, you know, compete at the CFP level, you know, a program like Colorado State gives him, you know, every opportunity to be able to do so. And then, you know, if you roll the clock back a little bit here, it's why we built this stadium, it's why we went to the Pac-12, and it's why Coach Moore is here, is that you know, we've got a shared vision of what that can mean for this university, what it can mean for this program, and you know, we are absolutely laser focused on making that a reality for us.
Talking to Colorado State Athletic Director John Weber, this is one of those big names, John. I mean Jim Mora, that family, that name is etched in stone all over the National Football League, all over college football. What does it mean? I mean, I know you're going through all the due diligence of your research and your search on who the next coach is going to be, but having such a big name like that in such a crazy time in the world of college football, just what does that mean to Colorado State?
Well, it means that we get a tremendous amount of experience, and it also means that we get a really great person along with us. You know, this is going to be a person that's going to be ingrained in our community. He and his wife, Kathy, and his family, they're just absolutely phenomenal people. They're going to represent Colorado State better than anyone I can imagine. And, you know, with that kind of a partnership there, it means, you know, great things, along with obviously the pedigree, you know, of, you know, that he has had and his father has had. You know, it's a long-standing tradition, long-standing knowledge, and we're grateful to have them a part of the Rams.
You guys were sharing a bunch of stuff on the CSU football X account yesterday. Just so many different legends of the game in football. I know you got a message from Peyton Manning. Coach Dick Vermeil was on that list. A lot of outstanding players and coaches and just figures in football, famous guys in football, reaching out to put something together to talk about this hire. That's just another part of this that's just got to mean the world to the Rams and their fans.
It does, and it, you know, it just shows a tremendous amount of respect for Coach Mora and his long tenured career in the NFL and in college football. And you know, it's a great network that's frankly going to be able to help CSU as well. You know, that's, you know, as we look going forward, that's something for all of us to be proud of, and we're looking forward to putting some more players in the NFL under Coach Moore's time frame here.
I mean, I've heard some people, and not that it was even a negative, you know, they might just say something like, wow, he's 64 years old. I looked at this dude. This is why I asked my question, John, the hard-hitting stuff that you guys have come to expect from me. I'm looking at Jim Mora. I'm like, that dude ain't 64 years old. He looks like he could just bench. He looks like he could bench press you, John, and you are a tall human being. He's in fantastic shape, my friend.
Yeah, I invite anyone to meet him at the base of a mountain and racing to see who gets to the top first.
Yeah. Well, that's the next question then. Are you going to be a part of that? Because that he said that's one of his goals. He's gonna
We'll see. I don't know if I'm going to get all 54, but you know, we'll see what I can do.
I would just like to be invited, John. I can't promise that I'll commit, but just let me know if there's an invite available. I would like to be on the list.
I'll do it.
John, I appreciate you, man. Getting to know you over these last few years, watching you just kind of, you know, get into this position. You've had big decisions to make, and then big, great decisions, hiring Ali Faroukh Manesh, and then now Jim Mora. Man, my hat's off to you, my friend. I'm really appreciative of the work you're doing, and I'm excited to see what's next for Colorado State.
Thank you. Good to talk to you, Brady. Go Rams.
All right, my friend. John Weber, Colorado State Rams Athletic Director. How do they keep it so quiet, Michael? Nobody knew about this, and yet they were able to keep it quiet, and this search firm got them a ton of names, and they went through the process, but it sounds like Jim Mora was always kind of the number one guy on that list.
Well, I knew about it.
You did not know about it.
I did know about it.
Do you every time, do you have to come in and do that thing, that weird little thing? Contribute? Can you contribute? Come on, Mike.
I can contribute.
Can you contribute to the program? It's all
sometimes.
I need.
Sometimes.
Sometimes you can contribute to the program.
Every now and then.
Yeah. That's a stretch. Callahoma here saying, maybe Charlie, talking about the Lane Kiffin, Charlie Weiss Jr. thing, maybe Charlie's going back to drop a few hints about spots LSU needs to fill on the team. Yeah, man. I mean, that's another thing. Like, we're going back behind enemy lines. I mean, they already know all the intel about Ole Miss, but still. Faith, I sadly think BYU is out. They messed up their chances with their loss to Texas Tech earlier in the season. Also, it was a pretty bad loss, only scoring 7. As a Razorback fan, we never like LSU, so now just an even bigger reason with Kiffin there. Yeah, fantastic. How can you not be passionate about college football? Even with all the stuff going on around the sport, at the end of the day, isn't it still a blast to sit down and talk about standings and what this loss means, how Miami fans are going to be absolutely pissed, how BYU fans are going to be, obviously they're thrilled that they're keeping their guy. They, you know, we got that news yesterday that Kalani Sitake is going to stay with BYU, but they also might miss the playoffs in the same week. Emotional roller coaster for BYU. How can you not love this? How can you not love it?
I got to say, I like BYU's coach.
I love BYU's coach.
Yeah, well, I agree. I think he's a very good coach. And also, BYU doesn't play nearly as dirty under his reign as they have in the past. I mean, BYU's a dirty football team. They're like, I call them Florida State West.
BYU?
Oh, yeah.
They're dirty?
Oh, yeah. They play dirty.
Well, kind of. I like watching them play. I like watching them play basketball, too.
I don't know about their basketball team, but their football team's dirty. Nice people in the stands, dirty football team.
Don't they talk trash and they're kind of like Phillip Rivers? Like, gee dang it. They don't actually curse, or do they curse? I guess they're not, you know.
I don't know if they curse or not, but they do play dirty. It's like you know, we're nice 6 days out of the week, but on Saturday, we're allowed to play dirty.
45 minutes after the hour, First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. I mean, so John Weber has now made, I'm going to say, 3 pretty big decisions now. Was John in charge when they gave Nico Medved the contract extension with the buyout? I don't know for sure, but let's just say 3 major decisions now. He's done a lot of other things, increasing the game day experience, hiring a different staff, getting Scott Sidwell there. There's a million different things we could list. But when we talk about the big outward things that fans look at, it is hiring Ali Faroukmanesh. And some would say that was a no-brainer, but you still had to do it. You still had to hope that an assistant coach that was under Nico Medved was going to hit the ground running just like Medved, because they want to keep going to tournaments. They want to make sure that they keep that momentum going, and they got to make sure they find that right guy. So it was a little bit of a risk, even though it seemed like an obvious choice. Had to make the decision to move on from Jay Norvell midseason. And then, of course, was ultimately responsible for hiring Jim Mora. So that's 3 big changes that could forever alter the course, the history of Colorado State. You might have a real football, not that the other guys weren't real football guys, but Jim Mora's name is bigger than Jay Norvell's. Jim Mora's name is bigger than Steve Adazio's and Mike Bobo and even Jim McElwain. This guy, and honestly, outside of Colorado, bigger than Sonny Lubick. It's just a fact. You hired a big game killer, and he is in Fort Collins. 46 minutes after the hour. Let's take a quick break. It's the whole show powered by Chevron on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
For Hall of Fame Preps Talk, listen to Coach speak. Weekdays at 10 at Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Mark Johnson, voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, and you're listening to The Hull Show with my buddy Brady Hull on 1310 KFKA.
That was good. Are we way behind here? Are we way behind?
Actually, we're kind of ahead.
So this is, we don't have to take another break?
This is our final segment.
This is our final segment?
Yeah, final segment, and we have like
holy crap,
twice as much time as we normally have.
Have I ever done that? since you've been producing? Have we ever had this much time for just us? Just us, man. Just to hang out.
Just the two of us.
Just to hang out and look at each other for a little bit. You know, it's a busy show today. No question about it. Eastside Chris texting in. First Advantage text line, by the way, is 888-530-0043. Join the show. Join the party. Brady, I think Michael, said something about Mora on the journey to the bowling alley. I was kind of lost during the conversation. There's no way you knew anything about Jim Mora 2 weeks ago. Do you even remember? Do you even realize what he's talking about? The guy that drove you to the bowling alley 2 weeks ago?
Yeah, we were talking a lot about Jim Mora.
No way.
I was like, oh, he's going to be CSU's head coach.
Oh, so you got the scoop?
I knew.
Yeah.
I knew right off the bat. I knew. Jim Mora called me. He's like, hey, Micah, how's the team in Colorado going?
Yeah, okay. Go Pokes. What is that word? Am I the only one that needs a new guide for college athletics? Define revenue sharing. NIL. CSC. NIL Go. What is CSC? Is that collective? What is CSC? I should know that. Probably one of the stupid abbreviations I've read over the years. NIL Go, isn't that the one that's like, we're approving the NIL deals? Revenue sharing is you get to share your revenue with the student athletes. I talked to Ed Lamb this morning on Football 52, and I want to get into some of that with the Bears because their big names are entering the portal, which I'm going to tell you why that's not a bad thing. I'm going to tell you why that's not a bad thing with UNC.
Is it College Sports Commission?
Yeah, there you go. College Sports. Good job, Mike. I did ask, like, even with the rev sharing, can you now use that money as an inducement to try to get them there? Because with NIL, initially, it was not supposed to be that way. It was supposed to be, once you sign up, now you can get paid. It's not a pay-for-play. Once you're here, it could start working that way. But with the rev sharing, they kind of can. And so I asked Ed this, because Carver Cheeks entered the transfer portal. Michael, I don't know if you knew that, but Carver Cheeks entered. Cam Chapa entered.
You know,
Peter Castelli entered.
I heard it on the whole show.
Caden Box entered, third or fourth string quarterback. Fisher Clements entered, tight end who's battled injuries this year. I asked him, I said, so what happened? Carver Cheeks, no teams can legally reach out to him. Correct, but apparently they can talk to the agents. They can't get all the nitty-gritty and all the details, but they can tell him what a player of his, a college can tell Carver Cheeks' agent what his worth would be in the NIL market, in the rev sharing. Yeah, a player of that caliber, if he were to come over here, he will, you know, he'd be worth like a $700,000. He'd be a $700,000 guy. So they can do that. And they can get a good idea of where they're going to go January 2nd. Still seems weird to me. It's basically free agency. It's a free agency period, but they can only sign on one day. If we're going to say you're entering it, like, why not just, I don't know. Maybe not. I don't know. It's weird. They're already saying they're entering it. They're intending to enter it. But it only opens on the 2nd, and it goes through like the 16th or something like that. But it's a wild time, man. Defined boundaries of agents in college athletics. I don't think that it will be a defined thing. That is what we call, Go Pokes, a gray area. And the NCAA thrives in the gray. Fair to say?
Fair to say.
Yeah. A lot of that's going on.
By the way, I've been getting a lot of calls about Carver Cheeks, and a lot of colleges interested in him since I'm his agent.
Okay, are we going to keep doing that all day? We're going to keep doing that. I got a lot of calls. I knew Jim Mora. We're playing this pretend game all day. Are we just going to keep doing that? Until
we're going to keep doing that.
It drives me absolutely. One time, fine. Second time, okay, you're annoying. Third time, what in the hell are we doing here? Is that the shtick today? Is that where your brain's on? That 2005 Broncos credentials really gone to your head. It's really gone to your head. I'm going to steal it. Take a picture of it, by the way.
You may not steal it.
Can I take a picture of it?
You may look at it. You may gaze at it in awe.
Can I take a picture of it?
Maybe.
Yes. I will tweet that out later today. 11:57 the time. It's the whole show powered by Chevron. We got top stories of the day. Chris Paul. Deshaun Watson. QBs flipping. All that. We also got Sean Keeler joining us. And see who's in trouble. Big, big trouble. We'll be right back.
This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.